This is URN.
The son of Cuban revolutionary Fidel Castro has committed suicide after suffering from a bout of deep depression over the last few months. 68-year-old Fidel Angel Castro Diaz Barat, eldest son of the revered Cuban leader who installed a communist regime in the Latin American country in 1959, was himself a father of three. Born prior to the Cuban Revolution, he served as head of his father's nuclear program and scientific advisor for the Cuban Council of State after the collapse of the Soviet Union, forth the ceasing of nuclear research. It isn't so much the death of so-called Fidelito, but rather the circumstances. As a strict regime, the Castro family is notorious for their privacy, so the revelation of Castro's severe depression will surely come as a shock to many. This piqued my curiosity at the state of the welfare system in Cuba, particularly in regard to mental health support. Online, I found that Cuba had no mental health hospitals and a dilapidated system, despite the foundation of what a report published in 1987 calls an integrated mental health system that emphasizes prevention and community care. So this is just mid-story. I'd like to raise a quick question to the panel. Based on the importance of mental health and our understanding of how it affects individuals in this day and age, and how, you know, conscious and aware we are of mental health problems, should there be some kind of international standard of mental health support?
I think, considering Cuba is still a communist totalitarian state to an extent, it's quite hard to initiate mental health reform, even still when in countries like ours, mental health reform is only still becoming at the forefront of our knowledge. Essentially, I would agree it's extremely important to raise awareness about it, but in a country like Cuba, it is hard, considering their government is still totalitarian, and it explains why there has been this cover-up of mental health with the son, basically.
Well, if memory serves, the right to health facilities is one of the fundamental declarations of human rights in that UN declaration from, what was it, 1947. So whilst we normally delineate between physical health and mental health, the question is why? Does it matter? Is there a difference? Is a person healthy if they are physically healthy but not mentally healthy? And in Britain, we're starting to take that as no. In some of the Western world, they're better at it than others, but certainly there is, I don't think there's a country in the world that has dealt with the mental health issues brought about by stress, and that is something that our generation is going to see as the biggest health crisis of our generation.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that as well. Because of the
mental health
of social
in general,
media,
with stress as probably a lot of it.
I don't want to digress on it too far, but I would personally argue that it's more a thing about self-consciousness. We live in an age of, you know, constant exposure to media, so it's easy
to become... Still
mental
health issues.
Yeah, no, of course, but not based on stress.
Well, but regardless
that, not to digress.
I think, there definitely should be a global standard for mental health. When you're talking about, should it be treated with the same sort of like seriousness as physical health? And I think definitely when it comes to some countries like Cuba or some places which don't have the same levels of, what's the word for it, focus on health reform and systems, like what's the best suggestion that we could make? Like, there's no definitive answer. Like, we can't demand that another country improves their standard of mental health treatment, but we can have a look at what we consider to be the basic human rights.
Yeah, I think with a country like Cuba, it's not as we can't initiate a sudden reform for mental health. It is going to be gradual, like it is across the Western world.
So you think more in an educational sense than an active, you know, UN policy that says
yes,
where you have to have a standard number of established mental health clinics in a given capital or a city, or
yeah, if they establish a baseline minimum of how many mental health clinics there has to be, even in totalitarian states like Cuba, I think in the long term that will help with mental health reform in countries like that.
I think the problem with a place like that is that they have, they're not, no, I mean, I imagine they would respond, but it again would rely on them having a sufficient welfare system. It's all well and good having to build a minimum of 4 brick buildings in a given city in Havana, but you know, it's, I think the progress comes more from the education, more from informing states and informing state governments of what their obligations are.
But as around the world, it's a stigma. Mental health is so stigmatized that, as you say, just building the 4 buildings wouldn't be enough. You need to make people aware that they can improve their health in terms of mental health in other ways.
It also made me curious about the number of world leaders with mental health issues. I found that leaders from Presidents Lincoln to JFK to Winston Churchill all suffered from depression. And both Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. both attempted suicide at one point in their lives. So to look at, I mean, obviously, the younger Castro was technically a world leader. He had grown up with a focus on, with a focus in the Soviet nuclear program. He had been a councillor of state. He had political experience and he had been in government. And bear in mind that he was the eldest child. He had been nearly an adult when his father became the leader of Cuba. So actually, we're looking at someone who has spent their life in government. So like the other people I just mentioned, JFK, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, these are people who have experienced the stress of politics, like you said. So to ask kind of another international standard question, or maybe one of education or information, do you think it's important that world leaders are given an understanding and a checkup and basically a government and a state, an independent agency maybe, have a duty to ensure the positive mental health of world leaders?
Having it be an independent governing body that looks over that standard is a really good idea, but you just made me think when you were talking about the previous world leaders that we view celebrities and leaders and politicians as sort of like on a different standard. Like we often don't take it seriously when we learn that someone in office is ill, whether mentally or physically. So I think there's another issue buried underneath this about how society would react to this. I mean, do we know how Cuba is discussing this, the media in Cuba, how it's been talked about?
Just as news broken as a national loss, really.
Yeah, I think you make a good point about it not just affecting the political sphere, and having an independent body would be an idea, but I think you'd get so few countries sign up to it. Nobody would want to, because if this thing proves that, you know, your leader is problematic, you're not going to accept the results.
Well, I'm talking in terms more of, you know, not a public release, just more of a let's check that everything's okay for you. And that's how, you know, that's a person deserves that. It doesn't have to be publicised. But to wrap up that story, just a quick note, you don't have to be a world leader in order to experience stress and mental health issues. And yesterday was actually Time to Talk Day, which is a day dedicated to speaking about mental health issues and just having a chat with someone if you're not feeling yourself. Nottingham does offer a number of resources for if you're not quite feeling yourself, the best of which I would say is Nightline. You can call anytime from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. on 0115 95 14985. Just to say that again, it's to call from anytime from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. if you're not quite feeling yourself.
This is URN.